Hello, everyone. You are listening to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon, and today we continue our workplace article. I have back in the studio with me Lois. Welcome, Lois.
Hi, Brandon. It's great to be here. I love what we're learning about work these days, and I like that we're going to be doing something totally different today.
Well, what did we discuss yesterday, Lois?
Well, we discussed basically, where are you working, or can we learn from other places that have flexible work situations?
Yes, working from home.
Working from home, working from the office, mm-hmm. possibly going to a coffee shop or a library to do your work.
That's right. And we have back with us again, Simon. Welcome, Simon.
Thank you so much. Today is about physical work, not just office work, so this is pretty exciting.
That's right, and you have done that through the years, right? There have been seasons, I guess, when you've done some physical labor. Is that true?
It's true.
What
As
kind?
Have you,
Yes,
Brandon.
I have, but
and
we're talking
me
about
too.
You. What are some of the jobs that you've had?
I've worked on farms, and I've done construction jobs. I've worked in factories,
mm-hmm.
different jobs like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've also done some construction work, even in recent years. During my college years, I did that during most of the summers, doing construction work with my dad. And Lois, you chimed
yes,
in. You said you have done some physical work as well.
I definitely have, either for myself and the properties my husband and I have owned, or when I was in college, I worked doing laundry for a time.
Okay.
And let me tell you, that's physical. And
yeah.
I could not believe how much laundry a college can have.
Yeah. And it's good to, you know, think about what are the benefits of doing physical work. And, you know, it's very different than working in an office. And there are pros and cons to everything, right? And there are different jobs that you like and don't like and so forth. But we're going to really talk about kind of the benefits of physical work, but also, you know, what we have maybe lost as a result of the decline of physical jobs. So let's take a look at that. We have our first reading coming up. If you have your magazine, go ahead and open it. We're on page 19. You can also follow along on your digital device. Right now we'll have our first reading there, the left-hand column.
As physical jobs decline, something is lost. As jobs that require physical work decline thanks to technological advances, life superficially appears to get better. Cheap cell phones, video games, the internet, social media, and labor-saving appliances all make things easier and suggest that even more and better benefits are on the horizon. Formerly back-breaking industries, from the growing of almonds to the building of cars, are increasingly mechanized, using fewer but more skilled operators. Anyone who has spot welded or harvested almonds with a mallet and canvas has no regrets in seeing the disappearance of such rote drudgery. Consumers benefit in the form of cheaper prices. But as we continue on this trajectory, initiated in the Industrial Revolution, is something lost? Something only poorly approximated by greater leisure time, non-muscular jobs, and contrived physical exercise in air-conditioned gyms?
All right, before we continue on with this article, I want to give you just a little bit of information about the writer. The writer is Victor Davis Hansen, and he is a senior fellow in classics and military history at the Hoover Institution. And this is actually an excerpt from an essay that he wrote for the Manhattan Institute's City Journal, and this was published in the Los Angeles Times. So this is actually a commentary. This is this man's thoughts about physical labor and his kind of reaction. And how do we begin here, Lois?
Well, it tells us about the physical jobs in being in decline,
mm-hmm.
and that something is lost. But I like how it starts off as jobs that require physical work decline thanks to technological advances, life superficially appears to get better.
All right, so this is the writer's opinion, right? And so we can disagree, we can agree with certain parts, of course, but it is interesting. We know because of technological advances that physical work is in decline, but I like how he puts it here. Life superficially appears to get better. Like on the surface, it seems better, but maybe deeper, it's not.
Yeah, that's the idea. I liked, too, that he is talking about the idea of losing jobs, right? Mm-hmm. Jobs disappearing. But he's also talking about how sort of tasks that people do every day that were once much more complicated or difficult to do are much easier to do now. So, for example, when they mention appliances, people aren't maybe necessarily washing dishes for a job at home, but it certainly makes life a lot easier when you have a dishwasher.
That's right, yeah. So, and they have a whole list of things, of course, cell phones, the internet. This makes life easier, and it can seem better in some ways. There are benefits, and maybe even in the future there will be more benefits. We have that idiom there, that phrase, on the horizon, likely to exist soon. And so we know we have more and more technology, there are benefits to that, but there's a downside as well. Okay, and then we kind of look back at some of the physical jobs, and he says formerly backbreaking industries. What is backbreaking?
Well, backbreaking means you did more than break a sweat doing the job.
A lot of effort involved.
A lot of effort. You were probably very sore and tired when you got home, and it was physically demanding, we often say.
And we have some examples here. The growing of almonds. I've never thought about that, but that's, one example here. And it takes a lot of work to do that, to grow something. To the building of cars. These are increasingly mechanized. There are machines that are taking humans' places, right, and doing the work. And so, they're using fewer but more skilled operators. And so, again, here we're talking about the loss of jobs, Simon.
Yeah, that's right. And so I guess basically this idea of physical jobs declining, it plays out in different ways. One way in terms of actual jobs that are lost, where people just aren't needed to do that sort of work anymore. They've been replaced by machines or computers or whatever. But the other side of that is this sense that things are more convenient when we're doing work and chores and errands in our daily lives.
Right. Yes. So convenience is great, but we are possibly losing something here. So we have more examples here. Anyone who has spot welded. Now, what does it mean to spot weld, Simon?
Well, when you weld, you basically fuse or attach two pieces of metal to each other. When you do a spot weld, you don't actually do the whole thing. You just kind of hold it in place by welding a little spot.
Mm-hmm. All right.
It's a heavy job, though, because you have to kind of hold the two pieces of metal in place.
Okay, and then we talk about harvesting almonds with a mallet. A mallet is it's a tool. It's like a hammer, and it has a large flat end. It's made of wood or rubber, and so that is used for harvesting almonds.
Right, and they would mention it because it's actually very heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they're probably using, relatively good-sized ones here because mallets come in various sizes, too.
Okay, and then we also talk about a canvas, Simon.
Yeah, that's right. I gather what you do with the mallet is that you hit the almond tree to make the almonds fall off. So you're probably basically, I don't know, I'm guessing, beating the almond tree to make the almonds fall off. It seems to make sense,
it's
right?
It's like you're not chopping it down, but you're beating it. Like,
right.
You've got to go after this tree.
It's not like fruit where you're going to pick each individual piece of fruit, right? You're not going to pick every nut off the tree. So I think you kind of shake the tree, but very heavy work anyway.
Right. And so people, they look at this and they think, oh, I'm glad we don't have to use that, this process, or, we have technology that's helped improve this and make it easier.
Yeah, they have a term they use here that I really like, rote drudgery.
Yeah.
And rote, of course, when you do something by rote, it means you do it over and over again. So it's repeated many, many times. Drudgery is just something that is really difficult and kind of boring and you really hate doing it. So it's something that is difficult and you hate it, but you have to do it over and over again. And that's what they're describing these jobs as being like.
And we can all relate to that with certain tasks that we have to do. We're like, oh, this again, you know, and you just get bored with it, right? And so consumers, they are benefiting in the form of cheaper prices. And so that's a good thing, right? Cheaper prices. But as we continue on this trajectory, this path, on this course.
A chosen or taken course.
That's right. As we continue this way, in this way, which was initiated in the Industrial Revolution. So this all started with the Industrial Revolution,
right.
Lois.
Which I can actually remember my grandparents talking about because obviously their parents talked to them about
mm-hmm.
it. The period of time during the 18th and 19th centuries in many Western nations when work was done increasingly more by machines and factories than by hand in homes. So I think many of us have seen really old movies or movies that are portraying that they were a different era, mm-hmm. and they will show what was happening, some of the scenes in the Industrial Revolution.
That's right. And so this isn't really anything new, the fact that machines have, kind of been taking the place of humans, and it's been going on for a long time, but I think at a faster pace now because of our current technology. But the question is something lost? Now, Simon, why are they asking this question? Is something lost?
Well, I think because people are always kind of sad when things go away,
mm-hmm.
right? You have memories of the way things used to be, and now they're not that way anymore. It's something to be sad about.
That's right, and there may be things that are lost that, when you do physical labor, it's helpful for your body,
It sure is.
So that's something that you lose when, you think of sitting at an office desk all day, and I notice it, right? You have to be intentional about exercising because you're not moving around as you do with a physical job. You know, when I did construction work, I was on my feet most of the day, right? Except if I was on break or lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a big change. You have to really incorporate exercise. You have to be more intentional about that.
And oftentimes you can be working in places where the air's really nice. And,
mm-hmm.
I think of when I see people when I'm on the west coast of North America, they're outside doing physical work, and I'm like, wow, you're getting really great outdoor weather for this.
Right, that's right. Well, the question is something lost? And the answer is something only poorly approximated by greater leisure time, non-muscular jobs, and contrived physical exercise in air-conditioned gyms. And so they answer the question with a question, Simon.
Yeah, it's actually a very interesting sort of statement of a question, too, because normally we would kind of say something was replaced by something else. But here they use this term approximated. And that really comes from the idea of saying that something is approximately the same as, which means almost the same as, kind of a copy, but
mm-hmm.
not quite an exact copy.
And here they're saying it's a poor copy. Right.
That's right. So the idea then being that the physical benefits we get from physical work are not really properly replaced by things like doing exercise in a gym.
Right. It's contrived or artificial. And so, yes, you do have greater leisure time, and you do have jobs that you don't have to put much physical effort into. And so these are some benefits, but really all of this doesn't make up for what is lost in a physical job, is what this man is saying. These are his thoughts.
Yeah, I also think of the benefits. Sometimes when I do physical work, I'll say, especially if I do it outside, I want to go out and do something to maintain maybe a yard or something. I want to go clear my head.
Mm-hmm, right.
It really does help me that way, not just my physical body.
Right, to get out into nature and so forth. I mean, of course, any kind of exercise is better than nothing. But here we're just putting these two against each other and comparing them. What is really lost when we don't do physical work? And we know that times have changed. We can look around and see that. We can hear stories from our parents and our grandparents and know that things are different now. And we can get used to that, but we need to reflect on the past and learn from that. So we are going to continue our talk in our next section, which is entitled Times Have Changed. So we will have our next reading for today.
Times have changed. Talk long enough to the most accomplished academics, and more often than not, they will brag about a long-ago college summer job waiting tables or repairing hiking trails. They might praise the granite counter installer who redid their kitchen or offer an anecdote about the time they helped the tree trimmer haul limbs from the backyard out to the trailer at the curb. There seems to be a human instinct to want to do physical work. The proliferation of hard work reality television programming reflects this apparent need, if only vicariously. Indeed, the more we have become immobile and urbanized, the more we tune in to watch reality television's assorted truckers, loggers, farmers, fishermen, drillers, and rail engineers. In a society that supposedly despises menial jobs, the television ratings for such programs suggest that lots of Americans enjoy watching people of action who work with their hands. Physical work, in its 11th hour within a rapidly changing Western culture, still intrigues us in part because it remains the foundation for 21st century complexity.
Okay, so if you talk to accomplished academics, what will they often say, Lois?
Well, they will often say, more often than not, they will brag about a long-ago college summer job, waiting tables, repairing hiking trails, or whatever they might have done in their college jobs.
Okay, what have you done in the past? Like if when you were in college, or maybe even just many years ago, what were some of the jobs that you did?
Well, one of the things I did, and I was remembering this after I said about working with the laundry from a college, was I house cleaned while I was in college every Friday. This great big huge house with a mom and dad and five kids, so you can imagine how much work I had. And I sometimes think the woman also had me over so we could chit-chat and have lunch together.
Yeah.
But, you know, I actually liked to do it because it was so different to what I was doing studying all the time as
right.
a student.
Yeah. Okay. Simon?
Where do we begin, Brandon? Where do we begin? It's kind of an inside joke here at Studio Classroom, right? I've done every job that has ever been done by anybody.
Yes.
I've done all kinds of things. I've worked, I'll give you a couple of the more interesting ones. I worked on a Christmas tree farm for a while. That was a pretty good job.
What did you do there?
Raised Christmas trees, basically, the long and the short of it.
Okay.
Yeah. I built houses that were then taken apart and shipped to different parts of the world, like Japan and Germany. And I worked at a summer camp.
Okay. All right, a variety of things. Well, I, like Lois, I have cleaned houses when I was much younger, and that was very difficult work and one of my least favorite jobs that I've ever done. And I've also done construction work. I've done drywall. Don't know if you're familiar with that, but these are the walls that you put up in a house or a business. There's these sheets, sheetrock or drywall that goes on it. So I've done that. Quite a bit. And so all of those things are difficult, you know, but you do kind of get a workout doing that kind of work, and so that's a benefit. But times, they have changed, and many people who, you know, are working in an office, maybe you're a lawyer, you're a journalist, and so forth, they'll look back and say, yeah, I did that when I was in college. I waited tables, I did these other things, and you know, what will they do now? They might actually praise other people who are doing this kind of work, Simon.
Yeah, that's right. They give the example here of the granite counter installer. So that's basically the person who is doing renovations in your kitchen, and they come and they put in the counter. And I guess the reason they mention that is it's difficult to work with stone counters. So it's kind of a
skilled labor.
That's right. So it's a very specialized job. And if you don't know how to do it, when you watch someone do it, you're just kind of like, wow.
Yeah,
like
you're an amazing.
Look at that guy. Yeah. He just, you know, turned that piece of stone into a counter, right?
Right. So they're watching maybe someone else do this, or they're possibly helping the tree trimmer haul limbs or carry limbs from the backyard out to, you know, a trailer at the curb on the side of the street. And so they're not really doing that much, but that's kind of how they do physical work now, because they're normal jobs. They don't involve that.
Right. Like, for instance, when I'm back in Canada, I really love to garden outside. I kind of get a thrill out of it. It's very enjoyable mm-hmm. for me. So a big joke I always say when I leave Asia and I'm going to work in Canada again, I'm going to work in a plant nursery, because I just find it very therapeutic, and yeah. I like working with my hands and like getting my hands in the dirt, I guess.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. it's kind of human instinct, isn't it, to want to do physical work. And yeah. Some people may disagree with that. Maybe some people, they don't want to do physical work at all. It's not my favorite thing in the world to do, honestly, to do physical work, but it can be a nice change from your everyday work, right? To do something with your hands.
Well, that's why I think it's interesting that he started this paragraph by talking about, accomplished academics. So these are people like university professors, and we tend to think of them as being as far as you can possibly be from physical work, right? Mm-hmm. Like, these are people who are basically paid to think and talk to each other about the things they're thinking about. And mm-hmm. so it's as far away as you can possibly get, but at the same time, there's kind of this interest in what is going on in the physical work world. And I think a lot of that is because physical work is kind of like freedom in a
yeah,
lot of ways,
right?
So people want to have the power that comes with knowing how to do these things, but that doesn't mean they necessarily want to do the job over and over and again,
right?
Like that rote drudgery we were talking about earlier.
But from time to time, if something breaks down in their apartment or house, you know how to fix it.
Exactly. And not all physical jobs or employment is rote drudgery, because some you actually have enough variety in it, or you might actually go to a different location to do it.
All right. Well, he emphasizes his point about this being, you know, human instinct to want to do physical work with this next example. He talks about the proliferation of hard work reality television programming. And I can attest to this when I am in the United States and I turn on HGTV and you see all of these shows. They're very popular. And there are many of them. So that's that word proliferation there. There's just a lot of them. They keep adding them. He says this must mean something, Simon. What is he getting at?
I just want to say first, I also watch those shows when I go
too.
Back to Canada. So they really are proliferating, and people really love them. What's he getting at? I guess the idea is that this programming reflects this need, so this instinct that people have to kind of want to be able to do these physical things. Even if we don't actually do them, we want to know how to do it, and have the confidence that comes with knowing how to do that.
Or maybe people, they are working in an office every day and they want to go home and, you know, sit down. They watch something that's totally different from their life, kind of gets them outside of their own, you know, way of doing things, and it's a way for them to relax.
Right.
And so, you know, that could be a reason. So he goes on and he's talking about, you know, living through these people's lives. When he's using that word vicariously, what is he saying?
Well, we have that in our vocabulary focus. And it says vicarious experience as a result of watching, listening to, or reading about activities of other people, rather than by doing the activities yourself. So oftentimes I will say to my husband, who happens to be an airline pilot, I am living vicariously through you this week, Michael, because I have to stay at the office and be at the office, and it can seem like drudgery sometimes,
right.
Whereas he might be in three major cities of the world in 7 days.
Right.
Yeah, so if you're doing something vicariously, you're not doing it yourself.
Right.
You're just kind of experiencing what someone else has experienced, kind of imagining you are in their position as they do the thing.
All right. So he says, indeed, the more we have become immobile, we're not moving around as much, and urbanized, we're living in cities more, the more we tune in to watch reality television's assorted truckers, loggers, farmers, and it gives a list of different professions here. You know, you can turn on the TV and you can kind of get that physical work need met through these reality TV shows.
Oh, yes. And I think it gives you a respect, too, of what these people do for a living to actually make your life better. Can you imagine if all these jobs or these professions disappeared? What would our lives be like?
That's right. Well, he says here that supposedly, you know, society despises menial jobs. And that term menial or menial work is it's just boring work and makes you feel tired and is oftentimes looked down on. A lot of jobs that are menial, people just say, oh, you know, they don't put much value on it. You know, this is what society is saying on one hand, according to the author of this article, the writer, but television ratings for these programs are really high, and they're suggesting a lot of people, in this case Americans, they enjoy watching people who are doing some sort of physical labor.
Right, hands-on work, because they don't do it at all, and maybe they don't even have somebody in their life that does it.
Right.
Well, and to be honest, I think I would argue with the use of the word menial here. I know usually on advanced radio we don't argue with the writers about which words they've chosen.
Yeah.
But the word menial really kind of suggests like very low level.
Mm-hmm.
And like you don't have to be smart at all to do it. That's kind of the idea with menial. It's very, very simple.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't require any thought. But the jobs that they've listed here as jobs that people want to watch on television and experience vicariously aren't really jobs that are necessarily menial.
Right.
So sometimes our understanding of what a physical job is kind of troubled. Like there really are very high-skilled physical jobs that require a lot of innovation and creativity and problem-solving skill.
Yeah.
And those, I think, are the kinds of jobs that we're very intrigued with, because when we see those people doing their jobs, they make it look so easy. But when you try it, like our granite countertop person, right, it's very hard to do.
That's right. Well, we have a little bit more time, and we'll discuss this last part maybe more tomorrow, but it talks about physical work in its 11th hour. Quickly, Lois, what does that term mean?
Well, in its 11th hour, it means the last moment, or it's almost too late.
All right, maybe coming to an end, so to speak. Physical work in its 11th hour within a rapidly changing Western culture still intrigues us, in part because it remains the foundation for 21st century complexity. And I know that's kind of a lot to end on, so we're going to carry this over and talk more about that last paragraph tomorrow, so we hope you will join us for day 3 of our workplace article. Until then, this is Brandon,
Lois,
and Simon
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.